This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Want to know another Snapple fact? The first hot air balloon passengers were a sheep, a duck, and a rooster. Ridiculous. Check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavored Snapple near you.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
All right, guys, happy Friday. We're going to have an interesting show today. There's much to discuss. I see you guys going wild in the comments already. Candace Owens is done at Daily Wire. I don't know if this qualifies as a firing or whatever it is, but we got an announcement this morning from none other than Daily Wire's co-founder, Jeremy Boring, saying Daily Wire and Candace Owens have ended their relationship. We're going to discuss that today. Also, we do have an update from Kate Middleton. We might talk a little bit about Planet Fitness and everything that's going on there. We'll see what we get to. But before we get into all of today's topics and the many things we're going to discuss, we got Taylor in Nashville.
Oh, hey. Yeah, we usually call it Fun Friday. I don't know how fun these topics are today, but it's an interesting Friday at the very least.
Yes, it is. So you guys know that Candace Owens has been creating a lot of heat and fire. She typically tends to follow her throughout her career. Now, she has been, I believe, fired from the Daily Wire. They've ended their relationship again, as Jeremy Boring has stated on Twitter. And of course, we're going to have to speculate a lot in this show. We don't have a direct announcement from either party that really explains the ins and outs of this decision, what is going to happen going forward. You have heard from Candace Owens that she is now creating her own YouTube channel. She's going to be doing her own things, and she stated that she is free. Now, you guys can interpret that however you will. We're going to get into a little bit of the background and what people are speculating is the reason that Candace Owens has been let go or ended her relationship with the Daily Wire, and it has a lot to do with, of course, Israel, accusations of anti-Semitism, things of that nature. If you've been following Candace Owens, which I'm going to be honest and lay all the disclaimers here, I am not a huge follower of the Daily Wire. I am not a huge follower of Candace Owens. I do not watch their content on a consistent basis. So I was really going down a rabbit hole today, getting a lot of information as to what has been going on. Of course, I've heard all the back and forths and seen Twitter clips of some of the accusations of anti-Semitism that have been hurled at Candace. I saw the drama that happened between Ben Shapiro and Candace, where, you know, Ben said the things that she was saying was disgraceful on the topic of Israel and Palestine. And seemingly I watched as Candace took the position of not being pro-Israel or pro-Palestine, but really taking an isolationist perspective on behalf of the U.S., saying that we shouldn't involve ourselves in the conflict that is happening over there in the Middle East. And she seemingly expressed her disdain for the loss of innocent life, both innocent Israelis and innocent Palestinians. I don't think she necessarily agrees with the route Israel is taking in response to what happened on October 7th. And that has really jump-started a lot of the accusations about anti-Semitism. She, of course, has had drama with rabbis and all these different people who apparently have been coming after her. And recently on her show has detailed what she deems to be a smear campaign against her, her name, and her reputation to label her as an anti-Semite and sort of create turmoil within her life. There is stuff to back that up. I do urge you guys to go and watch, I believe, what would be her final episode on her Daily Wire YouTube channel that went out about 2 days ago. I watched it in preparation for talking about this today. And there is, of course, evidence of some sort of smear campaign against Candace Owens. The ADL put this out. It says, white supremacist and Holocaust denier Nick Fuentes is praising Candace Owens' vitriolic anti-Semitism. It's hardly surprising, but it does set off alarm bells when bigoted people come together to push an anti-Semitic agenda. It adds fuel to the fire of hate. Now, right out of the gate on the show, I want to say something that is very important, okay? I believe you can criticize Israel without being an anti-Semite, much like I can criticize the United States of America without hating my nation and the country that I come from. You guys can criticize entities, institutions, and give what could or could not be valid criticism towards those institutions, nations, countries, whatever the case may be, without being labeled as a hater of a specific group of people. In the same way, you can delve out criticism to Palestinian people, to Hamas, without necessarily being haters or Islamophobes. All of this is we're capable of doing. We're capable of having a conversation. So I do want to lay that out right out of the gate. Now, again, this is all speculation. I don't know exactly why she was fired from the Daily Wire, although all of this does seem to be coming together to paint a picture and a story. We've seen the spats between Ben Shapiro and Candace Owens. We know Ben Shapiro is 10 toes down pro-Israel and has been very vocal about that since October 7th and, of course, prior to October 7th. Now we're going to use the commentary on Candace Owens to sort of as a launch pad to talk about other things. I do want to show part of her final episode that came out 2 days ago where she states directly that she is not an anti-Semite, because apparently you have to state that directly when you are criticizing Israel. But I'll leave that with you.
To have pro-Israel narratives. Again, I want to be clear, I am not anti-Israel. This is what is so wild about all of this. I'm just not anti-Palestinian. And so I hear what she is saying, and I believe that what is happening right now in this country politically is an evil. It is wrong. It is completely ridiculous to have a bunch of people that are fearful to speak and say rational things that they know to be true, because they know they can lose everything. Because they know that a bunch of journalists will pop up like a game of whack-a-mole and try to spin things that you have said to make them much more nefarious than what you actually intended when you say them. Because they know that these journalists have power. Because they know that these journalists will not stop the onslaught. And eventually, people are going to cave.
So there you go. She stated her position very clearly there. I gotta say, it does look like something of that nature is happening. Although I do know that Candace is good at putting herself at the center of turmoil and sort of drumming up controversy, and I think benefiting from that controversy. The label of anti-Semite here does not make sense to me. Not with anything that I've heard her say on the topic of Israel, on the topic of Palestine and Gaza, the label of anti-Semite does not make sense. So if this is the reason behind the dissolution of the relationship with her in the Daily Wire, then it's not really making sense to me. There's also possibly the claim to be made that Candace knows that this is going to get her fired from the Daily Wire, and that this would be a great launch pad to have this be the reason that she gets fired from the Daily Wire so that she can go on and of course, garner support. I think both entities in this case are going to be fine. Let's make that very clear. Like, nobody is really all that much worse for the wear from this relationship ending. Candace is going to be fine. Daily Wire is going to be fine. There seemed to be a lot of heat and contention within their relationships with one another in the first place. So I think this is probably what was ultimately going to happen anyways, and maybe the conversation surrounding the conflict in the Middle East is what expedited this happening. Again, we're not going to know, and I believe Candace says she's taking a two-week break before she sort of steps out into whatever new initiative she's taking on and lets people know what's going on. I don't know if she's allowed to let people know what's going on. We will find that out. But again, I did watch that final episode through to hear the things that she said, her defense of the things that she said, and it seemingly made sense to me. You guys let me know, and I'm sure you will in the comments down below, if you feel that there's anything particularly anti-Semitic that Candace has said and that may have led to this decision on behalf of the leadership at the Daily Wire. But I want to, again, use it as a launch pad. In that episode, she highlights a video from a left-leaning commentator, Anna Kasparian, who we are now crossing paths with quite a lot as in agreeance. She's sort of having, I don't know what, a sort of a wake-up call, and maybe the right is sort of finding some left-leaning perspectives that they can stand by. But it's Anna Kasparian talking about an organization or lobbyist group known as AIPAC. I'm going to play the clip of Anna Kasparian, and warning, it is very impassioned. So try to interpret what she's saying through your own chill perspective, because she's not so chill in this one. Let's see.
AIPAC is evil. AIPAC is evil, evil. My fellow Americans, are you okay with that? Are you okay with a lobbying group representing the best interests of a foreign government telling you you need to bust your ass every day, work a job that you likely hate, and have a portion of your earnings taken from you by our federal government and funneled to the Israeli government so they can commit atrocities in the Gaza Strip? Are you okay with that? Because I'm not okay with that. And nothing gets under my skin more, okay, than hearing these pieces of crap say things that make it clear that they feel entitled to our money. Entitled. Entitled. That gets under my skin more than you guys understand, okay? AIPAC is...
Okay, so this is a clip that Candace chose to show, and I guess is somewhat of an endorsement of Anna Kasparian's message and a seconding of the message that she's sharing in this video. And I do want to speak real quickly to the whole Daily Wire situation. A lot of you are saying in the comments, my Daily Wire subscription is gone. I'm done with the Daily Wire. This is cancel culture. We're going to find out more. It is very interesting that they do claim to be a free speech entity and, you know, supporters of free speech. I wonder if that plays a role in their decision here to end their relationship with Candace Owens, because that would fly in the face of a statement like that if you're willing to get rid of one of your commentators for something that they've said that that you disagree with or seemingly can't support. We're going to find out more, guys. We will see. As I said, I don't have a Daily Wire subscription, so I don't have anything to worry about as far as do I keep it, do I cancel it. I'm not worried about all that. I'm sure you guys will make your own personal decisions when it comes to that. But all of this was just opened up to me this morning. I log on Twitter, Candace Owens has ended the relationship. I'm like, what the heck is going on? And I'm falling down this rabbit hole. So we got to the AIPAC part. Okay, so we hear about AIPAC in this video. I'm like, what is that? I'm gonna go down that whole pathway and find out who they are. I look up this lobbyist organization, and it says that they are, you know, proud pro-Israel Americans. They bring together both Democrats and Republicans to advance our shared mission, building bipartisan support for the U.S.-Israel relationship is an American value, and we are that apparently they are proud to champion. So I could see where this would maybe create some red flags for somebody who shares an isolationist perspective as to America's relationship with other nations and countries. It's very interesting that you have a huge lobbying group that is responsible for putting pro-Israel Americans in office, but I needed to hear more. So I start looking up AIPAC and trying to find people who are discussing it. And I did see a familiar face by the name of Ian Carroll. And I follow this guy on TikTok and Twitter because his whole role is calling out all these different things that he finds on behalf of big corporations. That's why I initially followed him. He was calling out BlackRock and State Street and Vanguard and pointing out all the different things within our lives that they own. And he decided to make a video about this AIPAC lobbyist group. So I'll show you that so that you can go on this journey with me.
Have you ever wondered how we got to this point where one of the biggest lobbying groups in America can openly brag that they are representing a foreign country? This is from AIPAC's website, but somehow they don't have to register under the FARA Act as someone acting on behalf of a foreign actor. They literally brag about how many millions they spent and about how 98% of their buying of our politicians was successful this election cycle. Did you know that they were actually this close to having to register as a foreign agent before a certain thing happened? Here, I'll show you, and I'll show you where you can find all these primary sources too. So if you go to this URL right here, israellobby.org/AZCDOJ, it's a history of when AIPAC almost had to register as a foreign agent. And back then, they were known as the American Zionist Council. Right there, the American Zionist Council. Well, it turns out that President John F. Kennedy was about to force them to register under FARA. And this is a history of all of the original documents that pertain to the legal case. And when you click on any of these links, it'll take you to original archived sources of the actual documents from the actual testimonies that you can read. Even cool little snippets like this that say federal lawyers are near a decision on whether to require the AZC to register as an agent of the Israeli government. And back in June and July of 1963, the federal government was nearing a decision requiring the American Zionist Council registering as an agent of the Israeli government. Americans of whatever faith believe firmly that America is their country and America alone. The Zionist lawyer, Mr. Lenvin, advised that public registration would be injurious to the American Zionist Council. You might notice that the Honorable Donald Rumsfeld was involved. And as 1963 went on, it all heated up. And by October of 1963, they were saying things like, forms are enclosed for the use of the American Zionist Council in registering under the Foreign Agents Registration Act. But then what happened in November of 1963?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
The president who was spearheading the whole thing just suddenly wasn't there anymore. And to be clear, I would never infer that Israel had anything to do with that whole thing. I'm just saying it was really convenient timing that it happened to turn out that way. And then in December of 1963, we get this document. As you know, our client is not prepared to register as an agent of foreign principal or to concede that it is subject to the registration requirement. December 11th, 1963. And to this day, the single most influential big money group in Democratic electoral politics is not registered as a foreign actor. Although the U.S. Justice Department clearly states that FARA requires the registration of anyone that represents the interests of the foreign principal before any agency or official of the U.S. government. All the rest of that also applies. That's just the most obvious statement. Because if they were registered under FARA, they would have to disclose where all the money's coming from. And they don't want to. So they just don't. And that's how we wind up with screens like this.
That says $14.5 million contributed to pro-Israel candidates. 98% of AIPAC-backed candidates won in the general election. And y'all, I had never heard of any of this. I'd never heard of any of this. Again, you are going on this journey with me. I have a ton of questions. And I actually immediately sent this guy's link to a friend of mine and said, can we get him on the show? Because I want to talk to him more in depth about his take on big pharma, big corporations, and now AIPAC.
And with AIPAC openly bragging on the internet about how they pay to get candidates to win.
And this says all 17 AIPAC endorsed candidates won their primary election tonight. Being pro-Israel is good policy and good politics.
Despite their policies being clearly unpopular with regular people in America. And that's why it's so important that we stop China from subverting our democracy by controlling what we see on our social media apps.
Okay, so there you go. You have that video there. I, again, have no idea what's going on here. A lot is sort of claimed or insinuated by that video, and I'm just finding all of this out, just leading you there with me. I would love to hear your thoughts and comments on this. But again, I'm not understanding how any of the statements that we've watched so far or any of the information that we've gone through so far could be construed as being anti-Semitic. This all seems like valid things that should be investigated and looked into and that we should be informed on, especially if what is being said in this video is true. Because if you have an entire lobbyist organization that says, you know, pretty clearly on their website, as we're all seeing here, and we can delve in further to if you'd like, that they are promoting pro-Israel Americans, that seems like you are operating on behalf of a foreign entity. And why would you not be registered as an organization that is doing exactly that if you are one of the biggest lobbying groups in the United States of America? And what's really interesting is that, sure, I can see like the stepping stones that might lead to Candace having her relationship ended with Daily Wire. Again, I don't know if that's a mutual agreement. If they fired her, it seems like they fired her. But my goodness, you're going to lead a lot of people to go and investigate this stuff, because I'm one of them and I'm sharing it with you right now. So I hope that doesn't make me anti-Semitic for looking into the information that apparently a lot of left-leaning and right-leaning people, you know, all across the board are now looking into and having questions about. And these seem like very valid questions. You all know that I don't support billions of our dollars going over to Israel in the same way that I don't support billions of our dollars going over to Ukraine. Nobody's looking at me and calling me like anti-Ukrainian for saying that. So why do you get called anti-Semitic for saying that money shouldn't be funneled over to Israel and that we should isolate ourselves in this case? These are just all questions that I have that are kind of like, it's kind of blowing my mind the further that I get into this. But at the end of that video, Ian sort of, you know, winks at the fact that a TikTok ban is happening in the United States, or at least they're attempting to have a TikTok ban here in the United States, and saying, you know, if you're worried about a foreign entity, aka China, having a hand in, you know, US policy or on US social media and being able to sort of mold the brains of Americans, why are you not worried about an organization like AIPAC being able to do the same, but with a pro-Israel sentiment? These are questions that should be asked. And then I'm like, okay, let's look into the TikTok ban, because then I started getting videos of people saying that the TikTok ban is largely being pushed by none other than AIPAC, that entity that we just talked about before. And I thought, why would that be? So I start looking into it. I find this video from The Hill that's titled, you know, TikTok ban passes House, anti-Palestinian witch hunt or national security threat. I urge you to go watch all these videos, because I'm just going to show you clips. Now, this is a woman from The Hill talking about the TikTok ban. Let's hear it.
Now, Vox reported back in mid-December that during the preceding month, TikTok's CEO, Xu Chu, met with executives at the Anti-Defamation League, as well as execs at Tinder and Facebook, to discuss moderation and, here's that word again, misinformation. TikTok's head of operations met virtually with prominent pro-Israel influencers like Amy Schumer and Sacha Baron Cohen, who reportedly accused TikTok of, quote, creating the biggest anti-Semitic movement since the Nazis. American Congress members have accused TikTok of promoting pro-Palestinian content as part of a secret Chinese agenda. Josh Hawley, who supports a Twitter ban, tweeted that TikTok was a Chinese spy engine and a, quote, purveyor of virulent anti-Semitic lies. And Republican Senator Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee offered a similar take, saying, quote, it would not be surprising that the Chinese-owned TikTok is pushing pro-Hamas content. An audio file was leaked last week of ADL head Jonathan Greenblatt lamenting a, quote, major, major generational problem, citing polling showing that young people are not supportive of Israel's siege. Quote, we really have a TikTok problem, a Gen Z problem, he said. We need to put our energy towards this, like, fast. It gets worse. The effort to restrict your right to make negative judgments about Israel's policies is increasingly being codified into law, sometimes under the guise of prohibitions against anti-Semitism. A new South Dakota law requires the state's Human Rights Enforcement Division to use the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance's definition of anti-Semitism, which deems it anti-Semitic to, quote, claim the state of Israel is a racist endeavor, or compare, quote, contemporary Israeli policy to that of the Nazis. Something Sacha Baron Cohen just did when talking to TikTok. If that seems overly broad to you, it is. Note that the Oscar-winning Jewish director of Zone of Interest, Jonathan Glazer, did exactly this on Monday night when he used his acceptance speech to warn the world not to repeat the tragic dehumanization of the past. As it turned out, the Anti-Defamation League, which, remember, lobbied TikTok with concerns about pro-Palestine content, called Glazer's comments both factually incorrect and morally reprehensible. If Glazer had given that speech in South Dakota, his comments might have had legal consequences.
Okay, there you go. Again, I encourage you guys to go watch that video in its entirety if you want to hear more, and at least hear, you know, the journalistic perspective from this woman and the information that she's put together there. It's very interesting. Now, of course, you just heard the ADL, which is not AIPAC, although a lot of AIPAC-backed candidates are also backing the TikTok ban, which I find to be really interesting. And oh, I told you this at the outset. This is before I had any of this information, right? We discussed the TikTok ban on this channel, and I said things are not exactly adding up because they're telling us that they're worried about, you know, the CCP being on our phones and spying on us, which is a very valid concern and would be a national security threat if I've ever heard of one. But they're selling our data left and right and doing all this insider trading with companies who are data mining, and they're choosing to hide information from us under the guise of wanting to safeguard us from misinformation. You guys heard from Mark Zuckerberg when he was on the Joe Rogan Experience, and he said the FBI had reached out to him and told him to really keep a hush on the Hunter Biden laptop so that people couldn't really hear that story. During COVID in 2020 and the years moving forward, the social media platforms, you know, that are owned and operated here in the United States had no problem just safeguarding us from information that they deemed to be misinformation, although 2 years later that would come out to be just truth, essentially, in regard to the vaccines, in regard to speculations about the possibility of a lab leak, all these different things. They felt comfortable inserting themselves into our social media and, you know, putting a little lock on. And now they're saying the very same thing about TikTok, that really what they're concerned about is misinformation. So we keep hearing that word over and over and over again. So if the CCP is an adversary, wouldn't the U.S. also be an adversary? And notice that I can criticize the U.S. without being labeled as anti-American. I love America, and I love the system that we have set in place here, although I do have my critiques for the system that is set in place here. And, you know, while we're worried about the CCP, they're making our phones and all that good stuff. We're outsourcing labor over to China. That's not quite making sense to me either. So when I heard about the TikTok ban, I'm like, okay, things aren't quite adding up. What are some other reasons outside of a national security threat that they might want to have a U.S.-owned TikTok? And my number one thought was, okay, well, you can control a narrative, right? If the FBI can reach out to Mark Zuckerberg and say, hey, let's get a handle on this Hunter Biden laptop story, couldn't they do the same if TikTok US actually was in the US? So what other stories do they want to keep you from hearing? And if you're getting labeled as anti-Semitic for criticizing the things that the Israeli government is doing, which again is not anti-Semitic, could it maybe be that they want to get a handle on people being able to levy that criticism? And she mentions the ADL. So we mentioned AIPAC, which is this big lobbyist organization, a big one in, within the United States that is working on getting you, I guess, pro-Israel candidates and strengthening that relationship. But she mentions the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, which is an advocacy group that is fighting hate and, you know, mostly anti-Semitism. That's what they're most known for. There is this video of the head, who she mentioned, the last name Greenblatt, talking about how he feels about TikTok, and we can watch that here.
We've talked about Instagram, we've talked about Twitter or X, and you've seen my back and forth with Elon Musk, but we need to talk about TikTok. TikTok, if you will, it is the 24/7 news channel of so many of our young people, and it's like Al Jazeera on steroids, amplifying in intensifying the anti-Semitism and the anti-Zion with no repercussions. I've got to ask, Joe, like, there's been a lot of lamentations about the fact that TikTok's ownership is Chinese, but you know what? Oracle owns 10% of the company. General Atlantic owns a piece of the company. Our friends at Sequoia Capital own a piece of the company. So does Sequoia and General Atlantic, does Oracle want to be responsible for spreading anti-Zionism and anti-Semitism? It's time to talk about TikTok. And I think we need members of Congress to be asking them, why aren't they doing enough? And let me be clear, I've met with Shou Chu, the CEO. I've talked to their leadership, but it is long past time for TikTok and its owners and its investors to step up and say, enough, we're going to take action.
Take action. Against what? Take action against people being able to share information and share their opinions? That's not making sense to me. And again, it's getting labeled as anti-Semitism. He's conflating TikTok with Al Jazeera, I guess is what he's saying, which even then you could argue is not even anti-Semitic in the first place, but we don't need to get into all of that. We don't need to go that far into things. That's a really strange thing to say, that you want to get a handle on people being able to share their opinion on a conflict that many have very strong opinions about. And if they want to share those opinions on TikTok, they very well should be able to. Now, I don't know. I'm sure there's many other reasons that one would want TikTok to be owned by the U.S. The CCP being a national security threat is one of them. Being able to control information is another. The money that could be brought into the U.S. By having a company, a U.S. company, own TikTok, that's another one. There's a whole pie that has several different slices as to why they would either be pushing and advocating for a TikTok sale or a TikTok ban. I will leave that to you, but there just does seem to be some sort of connection here. And I guess people are going to say that this is some sort of like tinfoil hat thing and it's a huge conspiracy theory. I guess what, at the very least, what I'm doing is laying out information and I'm asking questions. And I want answers to the questions. I want answers to the questions, and I don't want the answer to be you're an anti-Semite, if that is convenient for the people who respond. At the very least, can you give me an answer to the question without labeling me as an anti-Semite? Now, I don't know what's going to happen. Again, we're going to hear, Candace says in 2 weeks, she's going to launch, I think, a new YouTube channel that she's already put out, and she will get whatever endeavor she's starting off the ground then and let you all know what she's doing. I'm sure we'll hear much sooner from the Daily Wires. They're putting out daily content, and I don't think they're going to put out daily content without addressing what is going on here. But if it does have anything to do with what people are speculating it has to do with, and that is the Israel-Palestine conflict, it's not making sense to fire Candace for me. But there's a lot of heat. I'm sure there's other back and forth that are happening. Like I said at the beginning, you all watched that video of Ben Shapiro at a seemingly private event disparaging Candace and saying that what she was saying was disgraceful. If that's happening behind the scenes, I'm sure there's far more conflict than what we've been led on to know about. And it probably branches far outside of whatever is happening between Israel and Palestine. But I gotta say, in at least what I've seen from Candace, I could see how some statements could be misconstrued as being offensive, or how one could make the leap towards anti-Semitism. But that's not the leap that I'm making, and a lot of the things that she's levying criticism towards or the subject matters that she's bringing up carry real weight, and I think should be investigated, should be discussed, and we should create the kind of environment that allows for these discussions. So often when we are criticizing the political left or the woke left, we state that they are engaging in cancel culture, that instead of actually contending with challenging ideas, whether those ideas are right or wrong, they are stifling conversation, they are not promoting free speech, they are tamping down people's voices, and they're disenfranchising people for simply asking questions or having opinions that they don't like. We need to allow for those opinions to be said out loud, even if you believe that they are wrong, because what? You know, sunlight's the best disinfectant. If you disagree with somebody's opinions, allow them to say it out loud. Go back and forth with that person. Maybe you'll change their mind. Maybe you won't. But that's life. And that's what I thought we were constantly promoting within the realm of conservatism. And I thought we were fighting against the sort of environment that doesn't allow for these conversations. And sometimes the conversations are extremely uncomfortable. Sometimes the conversations may or may not insinuate things that make you feel like you are being hated on, or make you feel like there is some sort of underlying hatred. Sometimes people are blatantly hateful, and they are saying things that are disparaging to a group of people. Not that I'm saying that's what's happening in this case, but those people should still be allowed to share their opinions. You all know how I feel about the whole idea of like hate speech and hate crimes and all these different things. I don't think anybody gets a special status that sort of safeguards them from criticism. And I think we need to be very careful when it comes to allowing people to label or define something as being hateful. Because who gets to make that definition, and who gets to enforce the rules that are now attached to that definition? So these are all things that we just need to think about and be mindful of in watching this situation. I'm totally okay if you guys have criticism for Candace Owens, you have criticism for The Daily Wire, you want to share that in the comments down below. If you think she's an anti-Semite, please detail the reason that you have for thinking that. If you think Daily Wire's in the right, please detail the different support you have for thinking something like that, and vice versa. But it's not adding up. It's not adding up. The math is not mathing, is it?
We told you it'd be an interesting Friday.
Yes.
And for what it's worth, we did, one, that was a great 30 minutes journey through this whole news and all of the underpinnings and the different threads happening. For what it's worth, we did make a little poll here and ask you guys, just kind of out of good fun, who kind of you're siding with in this dispute. And we have Team Candace coming in at 56%, Team Daily Wire at 10%, and Team No Team is coming in at 35%. So it's like somewhat even split, if more skewed toward the ambivalent and skewed toward Candace. So that's cool. But I think, you know, long term, this is going to be better for all involved. I think it's, you know, we can't know really the inner workings and why precisely, at least at this juncture, mm-hmm. Candace was and the Daily Wire have separated. You could certainly infer things, and that's okay. But I think, you know, we would all do well to just take a deep breath and look at the lay of the land, ask intelligent questions for sure. And
yeah.
I like how this approach of let's look at all the threads of the conversation, and then let's have each of those conversations on the merits. But I don't think this is an occasion for mudslinging. And as much as it's kind of fun to make a little poll here about who you kind of more agreeing with in this situation, or who you find yourself more sympathetic to, I just hate that we have these divisions on people who broadly share the same values and broadly share the same ideals and have the same goals. And yet we end up having to have infighting, and that's unfortunate. Although I also get it that you have to be able to work out your differences. And so, you know, this is an interesting development, but I do think that Candace Owens is going to be just fine. Daily Wire is going to be just fine. And whatever Candace's next venture is, she will be able to speak her mind 100%, and we won't have to worry about whether there's anything interfering with that. And so I guess long term, this is going to be just fine.
Yeah, everybody's going to be fine. It's interesting. I mean, I'm very curious to see the statements that come out of both parties. I hope this was like a mutual break and that's actually what happened and it wasn't like a firing over comments, because one thing you do have to look out for is whether or not people are actually standing by their first principles. And if the first principles are free speech, then how can you fire somebody over the comments that they're making? You're going to have to make that make sense if that is what has happened here. And I guess we'll wait to hear that out and give them time to flesh this out. I see a lot of you saying, you know, people are going to come for you. You shouldn't be talking about this, all this different stuff. Baby girl, I'm independent. Who's going to come for me? Ain't nobody going to come for me. Maybe they'll take me off YouTube, but your girl's going to be fine. My life exists outside of the internet, which is why I get to talk about these things. And luckily I'm independent, so ain't nobody coming for me. You guys can try, but I think I'm going to be fine. Like I said, we're going to wait and hear from the two major parties involved in this case. I think this will, I don't know if it will generate more support for Daily Wire, but it's certainly going to generate a ton of support for Candace. I see a ton of people who are already subscribing to her new YouTube channel and sending money and all these different things. If this is a firing, I'm sure there's, you know, severance and contracts negotiations and all this different stuff. Y'all don't have to worry. You don't have to worry about Miss Girl. If that's one thing I know, is you probably don't have to worry about Candace Owens, and you definitely don't have to worry about Daily Wire. All are going to be fine here. But it did open up the conversation for me to look into some other things that apparently a ton of people have been talking about on the internet. I didn't choose to delve into these things before. Obviously, we've talked about Israel, Palestine. You guys know my thoughts on that. I, of course, do not support what happened on October 7th. And I, of course, do not support what I believe to be an extremely disproportionate response on behalf of Israel's government. So we've made that clear on this channel, but haven't delved far deeper into that issue or the entire conflict. And this sort of opened up a new can of worms for me. And I decided, you know, to share with you what I found this morning, all of it open to interpretation and investigation. And I will be doing that. I can tell you that. One thing I can tell you from this episode is, you know, I'll leave the Candace Daily Wire thing to wherever that goes and look out for an announcement. But I'm going to be looking into the other stuff that I shared with you today. Maybe it'll be dispelled as I investigate further. Maybe it'll be reinforced as I investigate further. And my questions that I've labeled and displayed out for you throughout this episode still stand. Please give me an answer and don't call me an anti-Semite. Or do, but I'm not going to believe it. So you choose to use your energy as you will. We are going to get into your guys' super chats. We were going to get into like Kate Middleton and stuff like that on this episode. I don't feel it's all that necessary. We spoke about the Kate Middleton controversy. A lot of people said she's been missing since Christmas. She wasn't really seen within the public eye. A photoshopped video of her was posted on the internet on Mother's Day. And we all found out today that that is because Kate Middleton has been battling cancer and had to undergo abdominal surgery to have it removed. And she is now, I believe, going to undergo chemotherapy and ask for privacy in this time for her family, her children, as they go through a very difficult time. A lot of rumors, of course, circulated with what Kate Middleton was dealing with, everything from secret affair children to BBLs to death and all this different stuff. And come to find out, it was cancer, which is horrible and a very difficult thing to have to deal with and struggle through. So we wish her the best and will be extending privacy to her. We don't often talk about the royals on this channel anyways, so you guys don't have to worry about any more Kate Middleton coverage. We wish her the best in her journey and battle to fight cancer.
Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
Here, here. And with that, we'll get into your super chats. But yeah, that revelation, I think, was just like everything came to a screeching halt with all the memes and the jokes and the speculation. And
yep.
It's hopefully a good moment for everybody to just, again, take a deep breath and think about the human aspects. And it's like a lot of times we have these parasocial relationships with people out there in the ether and think that we're entitled to know the details of their lives and kind of just use them for our entertainment. And then you find out something like that and you're like,
yeah.
Oh yeah, this is a human. I saw so many replies on Twitter to the news that people are saying like, we're all going to hell for the memes that we made.
Yeah.
Like this was horrible.
Yeah.
So it's a good lesson in like just having decency and humanity and just remembering that this is, you know, these are real people. And anyway, so
100%. Yeah, that couldn't have been like couldn't have been a worse update to that story. So I do feel for her, and hopefully, you know, we all contributed. Hopefully she was not on the internet during this time.
Yeah, indeed. Okay, kicking us off, as with most Fridays, is Daniel Santana. He is our first super chatter. He says, hello, I hope that each of you are experiencing a pleasant Friday.
Yes.
Is pleasant the word for today? I'm not sure.
Pleasant was the word for today. Like, let me tell you, as much as like, obviously I have stake in what our country is doing and putting us in the best position as Americans. I woke up today and heard, you know, Candace is no longer Daily Wire. And I went, oh, let's look into that and figure out what's going on. It doesn't need to be some like heated, full, like this is affecting my life so deeply type of thing. Although you should do your due diligence and, you know, find out what's going on, if this is something that affects you, you know, and get to the other end of it. But this was not a particularly life altering day, although I have new information that I have to look into. But the information that I've sort of touched on or skimmed over in this episode, this has been going on for quite some time. So if you're getting accustomed to this today, don't worry, it's been going on for a long while now. So this doesn't have to be a bad day, a bad Friday for you.
We have new questions and threads to explore. I can say, for one, I will totally recognize that like Candace is a talented and often courageous, you know, speaker, and she's very intelligent. Not always my cup of tea when it comes to the issues of the day, because sometimes it's hard for me to parse out with like her very strong opinions and people's reactions to it, and all of that always needs to be adjudicated and things are going on. So, you know, but I have a lot of respect for things that she has done. And then Ben Shapiro, since the October 7th stuff, it's like I'll go there to hear his perspective, because he has a certain perspective that you fills a gap in the landscape of opinions that you're going to get, and that's good. And historically, Ben Shapiro, also very intelligent and has done great service, and really appreciate his work. But I also know that the incentive structures are such that you're not maybe going to get the most objective commentary from him when it comes to that topic in particular.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I haven't been paying a ton of attention to the Daily Wire of late for those reasons. But like you said, this this fracturing, I guess, has occasioned an opening of other questions and the threads attached to the Fisher. And I think we have more to explore as a result of that. And while it's sad, like I said before, of the infighting and the disagreements among former friends or whatever, I'm glad that both will be just fine, and Candace hopefully will be happier in Independence.
Yes.
So, okay. Otaku69 says, did Kanye have a point? So many Jews in power in Hollywood.
I don't know.
All right, we're going to call you an anti-Semite now.
Yeah, here we go. Now you're an anti-Semite for asking the question. So yeah, we covered Kanye when his whole controversy first started up, and my take was then as it remains now. I think Kanye was facing a lot of pressure. He was facing threats. He was facing smear campaigns. And I think a lot of those threats, smear campaigns, and pressure did come from people who are Jewish. Now, did he use that to make statements that painted the entirety of Jewish people in a poor light? Yes, he did. And that is where I think the failure occurred. And that is where I think people rightfully had, you know, pushback and criticism to give to Kanye. Did it need to be like this entire like cancellation, try to ruin his life campaign? In my opinion, no. And yeah, you know, you're not going to convince me of that. I think he misinterpreted what could have very well been valid criticism to a group of people who was threatening him, and he decided to attribute that to the entirety of people. Now, he's since come out and said, you know, I'm not anti-Semitic. In fact, I think black people are the original Jews, and like all these different things that I'm going to be so honest with you, I'm not researching and I'm not following because I don't really care enough to do it. But you guys interpret that how you will. I think he said in his album Vultures, I'm not anti-Semitic. I effed a Jewish bee. So you guys interpret that as you will. I know we all care so much about the intellectual opinions of Kanye West, but there it is.
Yeah, so that settles it.
Yeah, that settles
it. Mic drop. DeAndre Cleaver says, happy Friday, Amala. Puffball looking great as always.
Thank you.
Let's see. Rick says, meanwhile, Hamas sits in the shadows and watches innocent people kill each other. Crazy.
Well, yeah, I mean, that is true. That you're not going to get any denial of that from me. I don't know that it speaks to the validity of what the Israeli government is doing right now. I would have much rather preferred, you know, like special operations to handle Hamas if that was on the table. It didn't seem to have ever been on the table. My big thing, it's a big thing that I will stand by in any conflict ever, is I do not like to watch innocent lives be lost. And it's especially heartbreaking to see the lives of children lost. And there's been a ton, many on the Israeli side, but many, 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 many on the Palestinian side. So while I don't stand by the acts of October 7th, I don't stand by what's happened in the wake of that. And I don't stand by the fact that Hamas is an organization that has, you know, used innocent people on both ends of the spectrum here. So
Best Tank says, missed the first hour 20 minutes. I'm at work. What I miss? Also love the show.
Yeah, well,
go ahead and recap it all.
Yeah. Let's start from the beginning. So I woke up this morning. No, you'll have to check out the show and see what you missed and give your opinion.
Wazakula says, the sad thing is, whilst we get so much covering of Israel-Palestine, there's a lot of war and hunger that aren't shown. Politics is a dirty game.
Yeah, this is what I said, because all these different influencers and people on TikTok were saying, how dare you not give your take on what's happening in the Middle East? How dare you not talk about Israel? How dare you not talk about Gaza? All these different things. Meanwhile, you're not talking about what's happening in the Congo. You're not talking about what's happening in China with the Uyghur Muslims or North Korea, or name any human atrocity ever that has happened historically or is happening now. It would be impossible to keep track of every single human rights violation that's happening in the world right now. So to hold people to a standard of speaking about whichever one is most popular for the time is just a ridiculous thing to do. Talk about what's happening in Israel and Palestine if you want to talk about what's happening in Israel and Palestine. Otherwise, like, why would we force people to give an opinion or to talk about something when there is so much going on in the world right now that doesn't see the light of day ever?
Isaac Gorski says, I think the world would be a better place if Amala and Candace teamed up and made the greatest show of former libs that woke up.
I'm just going to be team me and remain in my independence. If there's anything that I've learned through doing this or watching other people do it, is do it on your own and to stay in your own lane. Don't attach yourself to a company. Don't attach yourself to an organization or a group if you can help it, because it's always just best to work for yourself and have full control over everything that you do and say.
Yeah, and especially in the business of opinion sharing, like mm-hmm. that is certainly mm-hmm. something where you don't want there to be intermediaries or other parties that are in between you and the audience. And
right.
That's how you'll know you're getting the real, honest thoughts.
Yep.
So, Kira Ava Hill says, "Hey, Amala, ex-leftist here, watching you from Winnipeg. You're so inspiring. Thank you for posting videos. Shout out to my son, Damon."
Aw, that's awesome. Thank you for watching. That's very cool. I love to hear from people who went through a similar journey to me, the ex-leftists. And yeah, what an interesting show to be catching today. I didn't even know if I wanted to like talk about this. And then I started looking into things and I'm like, hey, you know what? We're going to talk about it. I don't know. You know, Candace in her video from 2 days ago says like, you know, every single commentator in this space knows that this is something you can't talk about. I definitely know it's something that's sensitive to talk about and that there are people who want you to talk about it in a certain way on both sides of the aisle. It's a difficult subject matter. You'll find yourself being like, oh, I'm nervous to even do this episode because you don't know what's going to happen in the wake of it or who's going to have receive it in what way or what you're going to be accused of. But fuck it. We're just going to talk about it. I'm going to say it. It doesn't really matter. My life is not the internet. So we'll see what happens.
And you're independent. So you can.
Exactly.
Do whatever you want.
I can say what I want to say.
Julian Giangrande says, "I wonder what happened to Joe Scarborough's intern."
I don't know what you're referring to. Is this another thing, another rabbit hole I need to go down?
All I know is that Joe Scarborough is one of the main purveyors of the like bloodbath myth that just happened, where people took this video of Trump out of context and saying that he was calling for a bloodbath and civil war and all this stuff. But
so ridiculous. How does anybody trust the media these days? How does anybody trust like what they're watching and seeing with all the different like puppeteering that's happening behind the scenes and the ridiculous, like right in front of your face, they'll tell you a straight up lie. Crazy. It's crazy, y'all.
Crazy. Someone said the intern was found dead or something.
Oh.
I don't know, guys. We'll have to reinvestigate this whole
I don't know.
Situation and come back. That'll be next Fun Friday.
Yes.
Celtic Blacksmith says, "I'm tired, boss, dog tired, mostly tired of people being ugly to each other." Misquoted slightly, but to each their own, peace in the zone or whatever.
Yeah, to each.
You know
their
what that
own
quote would be from?
No, I don't know what that quote would be from. Yeah, I'm tired of it too. Every now and then we cover like conservative drama on this channel, and each time Taylor and I are just like, we're so over this. Like, why are you guys fighting with each other? You guys agree on like 9 out of 10 things, but you focus on the one thing that you disagree on. Now, mind you, this one is kind of an exception because this is like a huge thing that has much broader implications in the way you speak about it, and it's been going on for months now, so this seems a bit different. But whenever we get into conservative infighting, I'm like, oh my gosh, can y'all just focus on the stuff that you are like unified on and not fight over the random stuff that doesn't matter? Like, I saw them arguing about like video games and Gamergate 2.0 or whatever on Twitter the other day. I'm like, y'all need to chill. And conservative calendars and like,
yeah, I was about to say,
just BS.
Ugh. Bigger fish to fry, as to say.
Right.
Oh gosh, I just made a misclick. Okay, the Uralic Tribes says, "America is technologically, economically, and militarily advanced, but mentally it's backwarded with the constant focus on racist ethnicity, gender, etc."
Mm-hmm. I mean, I agree with you. Well, we've fallen down the identity pipeline so far that I don't know how exactly we get out of it. Tomorrow's video actually is like a microcosm, I guess, of that idea. It's about two people arguing, and one's accusing the other of racism, the other's accusing the other of fat phobia, and it's like, none of this is actually happening, but you guys are so obsessed with the idea of identity that it has seeped into every single conversation that we have about anything, and everybody's being accused of some form of ism for saying a statement, and that's just not how conversation is meant to be. You're not meant to like share your thoughts and questions and concerns and challenge people and then be accused of like racism or anti-Semitism or fatphobicism or whatever it is going to be. That's not how conversation is meant to go. Like we're really just meant to take people at their word and discuss and go back and forth and ask questions and try to understand their perspectives, and nobody's attempting to do that anymore.
Sad. Yeah, we talked about that, the Spider-Man meme with the finger guns that everyone's pointing at each other. Dude, like, fatphobe, racist.
It's literally that. It's literally that all day long.
Let's see. Just Joe says, so happy you're alive now. Motivation, I need to go walk and get my steps in.
Hey.
Even though it's snowing here in Chicago. Thanks for keeping me company in my earbuds. Yes. Team Candace and Team Amala.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, guys, get your steps in. What are you supposed to get, like 10,000 a day? I definitely don't get 10,000 steps in a day. I was going hardcore, like going to the gym every single day. I haven't been to the gym in like 2 weeks and I need to go today.
So, who is she? What?
I know.
I didn't know this.
I know. I haven't been in 2 weeks.
You're like the most hardcore gym person.
I was for a little while.
What are you going to tell me next? You haven't been doing your ice baths either?
No, I'm literally today I'm leaving the show. I'm going to get ready and I'm going to go to the gym right after this. And I will post proof so that you guys know this is
5,000 of you just heard her say it. So she better follow through.
I'm slipping.
It's funny, with the steps thing, my wife got me a Fitbit and she's on this new like workout plan that's like organized, and she's like got a coach and she's accountable. So she's got to get her steps and got to get her protein and got to do everything every single day. And she's like thriving under this like regimented thing that she knows she's like, it reminds me of being in school when I could be perfect and get all A's and cross all the T's and dot all the I's. And
that works.
Anyways, so she will be like doing laps in our house to get her steps in before bed if she didn't get them all, and just like walk. I hear her little steps going over and over again in a circle, and I'm like, what are you doing? And she's just doing the steps. So
good.
I think I'm like concerned about her. I'm like, I think you need to like not do it one day just for your
sanity.
Yeah. So you're not a slave to this system.
She's gonna be David Goggins in no time.
Yeah,
just no cartilage in the knees. Yeah,
she's like drags me to the gym now, which is like a total reversal of
how it ought to be.
Relationship. But yeah.
There you go.
Good times. Joy says, you guys got me hooked on this season of Love is Blind. How dare you?
Yeah, I watched it through and through, man. Oh my gosh. I have much to say about the different couples and the different personalities on Love is Blind. We're not going to get into that today. I think I'll just intermediately sprinkle in my Love is Blind thoughts on our different live episodes so that I don't have to dedicate an entire, entire episode.
We were kind of nervous about doing a whole episode on it because we just don't, it's kind of a niche thing.
Is it?
And so we don't know how many people will care.
Yeah.
So we just, sprinkle in little quips and observations, I guess.
But, yeah.
There's a lot of, it's surprisingly insightful, I will say, about like human nature and insecurities and like psychology and just people willing to put up with things for the hope of happiness that they shouldn't and all this stuff. It's just like, so I like it for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Saif Agad says, I don't always like Candace, but she is more speech. She's always more speech, always. I don't always like Candace, but she is always more speech, always. And that's why I will always sub to her show and yours. In the past, when I say I'm Palestinian, I was told I'm being anti-Semitic.
Interesting. So maybe she's always for speech, like, or she's always free speech is what they meant to say. We're never supposed to find somebody who we agree with 100%. Like, if I found somebody who I agree with 100%, it'd be like, this is super weird. Get out of my head. This is not supposed to be how humans are. So it's good that we sort of compile people that we listen to that we agree with here and there, and we just maybe like their personality or want to hear their perspectives, and we hope that maybe on the basis of like first principles and values, we can agree with them to a certain extent. That's great. So if that's Candace for you, that's awesome. If it's Ben for you, that's awesome.
Simon says, they all own media, newspaper, radio, music, TV, social medias. All the info slash narratives that we have access to comes through their lens. They don't have TikTok in their pocket, and that's a threat to them.
Yeah, so I've heard this narrative. I mean, I would be careful with the insinuation that you are attributing it to the entirety of a group of people that just happen to share a cultural background, because that's where you start to sound... you start to sound a little incorrect, okay? So that's what
there's a word for that. I forget what the term is.
Yeah, there's a word for that. It's a word that we've discussed throughout this episode many, many times. I would just say be careful. Again, there is something to be said. You can say, yeah, a lot of people of a particular cultural background share leadership positions and things like that, and it could be insinuated that they would want to share what is best for that cultural background. I would just be trepidatious in just attributing it to an entire group of people. I think most people in positions of leadership like to further their best interests, and we're watching that play out time and time and time again from people of all different backgrounds.
Well said. Yeah. And I'll just add, like, it reminds me of a conversation we have about like systemic racism, et cetera, where people look at a disparity and then attribute 100% of that mm-hmm. disparity to racism when there are other slices of the proverbial pie that you could use to explain things. And so I think for the overrepresentation of a certain people in positions of power or whatever, you can attribute 100% of that to conspiratorial things or, you know, colluding with one another for whatever. Or you can say, okay, in instances where people are positively discriminating on the basis of race, we can say that is wrong and is worthy of criticism. Mm-hmm. But where they happen to have a culture or genetics or different advantages that allow them to ascend in certain circles, and there are other slices of the pie that are factors in that conversation. And so to just make these broad generalizations is where you get into trouble. But it's true both ways.
Yeah,
you should be able to say anything that. As it pertains to like objective reality and principles of equality, and that should be the standard. When you start painting an entire people group with a single brush because of the actions of some people within that people group, then you get in trouble.
100%. I have no issue saying that there are a lot of Jewish people in leadership who are pushing a pro-Israel message within the United States of America. And, for me, especially within politics and lobbying, not gonna work that you get to operate as a foreign entity without having to register as operating on behalf of a foreign entity in this country. And that should be able to be talked about, again, without you being called an anti-Semite, so long as you are not saying things that are anti-Semitic.
There you go, Sir Simon. Frau Kanzerin says, having to study for the first time in years, please wish me luck. I have a test to become certified in fire alarm system design, so lots of code books.
Oh, okay. Very interesting. I never think about that as like an occupation. So that's a really interesting thing to be studying. I hope all goes well for you and that you pass with flying colors.
Here. I was just met a guy who is in the fire sprinkler business mm-hmm. last night. And it's apparently
there you go.
Made a great living out of that, which is always these. I met a girl one time in California, and her dad was like the guy who had the biggest company that makes like street light posts in mm-hmm. the country. And he's like absurdly wealthy. It's like the most random little
finding
thing.
A niche. There you
like,
go.
You know, so long as you're delivering value and being entrepreneurial, like, hey, that's what America's all about, right?
Solve a problem, guys.
Solving problems. Peter John DeCoke says, although not having Candace at Daily Wire will be something of a loss, the silver lining is that more independent voices, not less, mean we're all winners. Just like you. Big love from South Africa.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, I think everything is going to be fine. If anything, you're going to get more content from Candace that may or may not. I don't know if she'll put up a new paywall or if it won't be behind a paywall. And then you get more content. So we'll see. Doesn't seem like an unhealthy split. Again, my only concern is the basis for the split and whether or not that flies in the face of principles that you claim to have.
LG19 says Daily Wire and PragerU has always been Israel first, America second. The war in Gaza just made this more transparent. But as Ben likes to say, facts don't care about your feelings unless you're discussing Israel.
I mean, I can't speak to that. I have not. I can be honest with you. I've not followed PragerU content since I left PragerU, so I have no idea what they've responded in the wake of what's happened on October 7th, or if they've taken any sort of public stance on that. There's a lot of different people of different backgrounds that work at PragerU and differing perspectives at PragerU. There's also a lot of Jewish people that work at PragerU who I would imagine to some extent, most of whom would probably be pro-Israel. I don't know the makeup of that. As in all of my time at PragerU, I think I spoke about Israel maybe once on the show, and I don't even remember what in reference to. It was far before October 7th. So I have no idea what it would have been like working there in the wake of what happened on October 7th. I can't speak to that because I didn't experience it.
So there you go. Gilbert Gonzalez says, hey, Amel and Taylor, missed you guys, but got to chime in for a bit during my lunch. I wanted to wish you both a wonderful weekend. Love you guys.
Aw, appreciate that. Thank you.
Jordan says, hi, as always, it's nuance. Supporting Israel does not equal supporting genocide. At the same time, anti-Zionism does not equal anti-Semitism.
100%. Dude, I remember when all this like first started happening and like Nikki Haley tweeted out anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism. And I was like, what? Like, how could you possibly have an opinion like that? And how could you share that again? She should be allowed to have that opinion and share it. And sunlight is the best disinfectant. But oh my goodness, how did you come to that conclusion? Wild.
Yeah. And again, like all the isms and the labels, it's like, let's have no, like, what's the claim that you're making? And then let's talk about that claim on its merits and refute it or agree with it. But like, I hate all the labels. Okay. Smithy J says, in my opinion, when it comes to Israel, Palestine, it's important to have an opinion. Discussing solutions leads to peace, not being quiet. Hi from Kansas.
Yeah. I mean, if you have one, I don't know that it's like majorly important to have an opinion. I always think about what happened before like information was globalized in this way, like before we had seconds of time before we knew what was happening somewhere thousands of miles away. And it would have been just like, I would think people just saying, oh, well, yeah, I read about that in the newspaper and I feel this sort of way. I don't think there would have been this sort of vitriolic energy towards this need to have a stance or the importance of standing on, you know, a certain perspective for issues. And a large part of the reason that we have that sort of energy now is because we just have access to information. So now, because you have access to information, people feel a sense of entitlement towards you having an opinion on the information that you're privy to, which is crazy to me. It's crazy. Yeah,
and there's a lot of like the tribalistic sort of thinking where people want to know what side of the binary that you're on so they can categorize you. And it's all this like reductive, you know, I'm on this side, you're on that side.
Yep.
And it doesn't foster nuanced discussion or nuanced opinion making for yourself. You just outsource your actual processing and weighing the actions of different sides and the history of it all. And it's a lot of work to actually have an informed opinion. And it's there are some things, and I think the more close to home they are, the more like impactful they are. The more you in time you should invest into it. But even that's hard to determine. I mean, especially in today's day and age when you have like sources you can't always trust and all that. So it's a crazy time to be alive right now. But you can't put your head in the sand, but you also can think yourself to death about something that may or may not ever have a profound effect on you. So I don't know. I don't know what to tell you other than we'll be here trying to talk about the stuff that we are deeming important and trying to be nuanced. And hopefully you can join us for that journey. And that's helpful to you in some way.
Right. 100%.
Saif Agad says, sorry, the character limit got me. Yes, I mean, she encourages free speech. First time doing this.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, no worries. I figured that's what you meant. So yeah, I like that. If somebody is supporting values that you share, then by all means, support them.
Let's see. Kahuta Shuta says, what I don't like about Israel is the response it gave to the people in Gaza. I don't find October 7th great, but with the death count is far higher at 30,000. What happened to Never Again?
Yeah, it's like I said, tough to watch. I've seen just horrific videos, images, unfathomable things that you would never think you'd see in your lifetime happening. And like I said, the loss of innocent life on either side is a horrible thing. And the rate at which that loss is happening now in the wake of what happened on October 7th is just astounding to me. And to just hear stories of children and entire families being wiped out, it's just so devastating, because you know that these are people who have... there's no like ideological bend in a 4-year-old child about what's happening. It's just devastation. It's just having the world fall apart around you. And I don't think on any scale I can understand what it would be like to live through that now. I can just watch and feel a small, minute percentage of the trauma that is being experienced. And yes, there was trauma experienced on October 7th, but I mean, just like tens of thousands of people losing their lives, thousands of children, is just it's devastating no matter how you put it.
Afro Nerd Radio says, will Black folk ever be as unequivocal about anti-Blackness the way many Jewish folks, rightfully or wrongfully, are about anti-Semitism? Jewish corporate sponsorship of anti-Black hip-hop must be addressed.
Yeah, I guess I get down to it. I'm like, what does it mean to be anti-Black, and how many different ways can you slice that? To me, being anti-Black is just simply like, I don't know, hating Black people, thinking they're inferior. The same, I would say, for anti-Semitism. A lot of things are labeled as anti-Black that I, in fact, don't believe are anti-Black. A lot of things are labeled as anti-Semitism that I, in fact, don't believe are anti-Semitism. So it's just so difficult to get down into the root of the conversation. Yeah. But I see what you're saying. The Jewish community is very, very tight-knit, and they seem to have a conclusive, almost unanimous culture surrounding them. And I think maybe a lot of other groups could or could not benefit from it. But I also think it's good that we are like a huge melting pot and everyone's mixing and all that fun stuff.
Celtic Blacksmith again says, the quote was from The Green Mile. Okay, thanks.
Sticks
in my head and comes out whenever I see an abundance of viciousness and infighting. It's been an ugly Friday.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. I'm like, I'm so sort of indifferent. When I watch people arguing online, I'm just like, you're people arguing online. Like, I don't know. Yeah. And there's infighting and things like that. But how much does it really, really affect your life? I don't know.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah. Again, the more interesting part of the conversation is all the merit-based topics that are attached to the conversation about the split rather than the split itself. That's just kind of like, you know, to another day in the life of conservative drama that will soon be forgotten.
Yeah,
so,
it's just life. Yeah.
We got a $50 one from Rex Washington. He says, Candace Owens is a goat for Black conservatives. Her firing follows the criticism of Ye and Kyrie. I spoke to a Jewish friend. He said, either Gaza or Israel. That got to move, and Israel ain't going.
Yeah, of course, a lot of people have a lot of very strong opinions. It is difficult to believe that what has happened with Candace is not influenced by her recent rhetoric and the things that she's been sharing. Of course, we'll wait for things to be cleared up, but we've delved into it, and I've given you my opinion on it. It does seem to be informed by that. I mean, you could even argue that what Kanye and Kyrie may have been accused of or what they put out would have been way less founded in actual fact than the things that Candace is putting out. I think she's far more careful about the things that she says and covers than maybe a Kyrie or a Kanye would be. So this seems even more kind of surprising to have this sort of response.
Kaylin Lee Kwai says, hi, Amala and Taylor. Great show as always wonderful. Amala, is your, I've always wondered, Amala, is your sleeve of Haku?
It is. It's Haku from Spirited Away. It's one of my favorite films that I've loved ever since I was a wee lad. So I decided to get Haku tattooed on me. So yeah, that is exactly who it is.
One day I'll watch that. Yes. I still have never seen it.
One day I'll watch Lord of the Rings.
So yeah, there you go. And then you can get a Lord of the Rings tat and I'll get a Haku one.
There we go. Yeah.
Let's see. Stop Simping on Amala says, hey there, hey and Tay, go to the gym. Don't be fat. Get muscle. Straighten your teeth. You can do it, Kings. For
Whoa.
The guys that need to hear this, and I know it doesn't go with today's episode at all, but I do see.
He's advocating for looks maxing, guys. He's trying to get you to looks max in the
Level
super
up.
Chats. I agree with some of it. I don't know. Don't worry about your teeth so much, guys. You can go to the gym and be healthy, I think. Who cares about your teeth? I have crooked teeth. We're chilling. We'll deal with it.
Depending on how bad it is. No, I'm just kidding.
Right, unless it's like impairing your function, I guess. Then deal with it, I guess.
And if you're in Great Britain, they don't care.
Exactly. You're in good company.
Just kidding.
Just kidding.
Obligatory stereotype. Kristen X says, I love the DW and I love Candace, but I think we all saw this coming after the incident a few months back. That stuff makes for an awkward working environment, and I'm sure Candace felt the tension.
Yeah, I mean, I've been to Daily Wire a couple times. I don't know how much they're really seeing of each other. Daily Wire is a huge company, and every sort of personality stays in their lane, and I think can leave their lane at
Ben's
their...
Ben's in Florida, too.
Yeah, and Ben's in Florida, so they can leave their lane at their leisure and at their request, and yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I would just imagine there's more just like intellectual animosity than there is actual like physical or like hostile work environment sort of animosity.
Yeah. It just seemed like not a great fit for several reasons.
Yes.
And it seemed even before any of this Israel stuff came up, there were other like little rifts and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's sometimes it's just not going to work, and that's okay,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
So. Whatever. Alice Iris says, my local community thing picked a non-binary man, well, non-binary, man in parentheses, mm-hmm. to speak for Women's History Month. Absolutely
yeah.
fuming because I know I'll be cast out if I don't support.
Hell yeah. We love it when a they them talks about the experience of women and all that fun stuff. I mean, say what you want to say if you want to do it and see what happens. I'm all for ripping the Band-Aid off and telling the truth. If that's a risk you're willing to take. If not, just go for the entertainment.
Yeah, and I also wonder what local community thing means or entails. Like,
right.
How strong is your connection to this entity
community.
Or organization?
Yeah.
Is it worth going DEFCON 5 on them?
Yeah, or, right.
Or should you go along to get along for a little bit? American who loves America says, when you want to find out the ones who rule, find out who you're not allowed to talk about.
That is a good, I think a pretty good rule of thumb. I don't know if you'll find out that they rule. I think there's,
it's where we're not being consistent with our principles.
Yes.
That people should be criticized on the merits, regardless of
100%.
What ethnicity they are or whatever. And that's it, you know? And so look where you are feeling pressured, or people are feeling pressured not to be truthful or speak their minds or ask things. And that shows you
you'll find
we're not
something.
Being consistent with our principles.
Yeah. You're going to find something when you go and investigate a little bit. And that we've seen it like you in 2020, you weren't allowed to like criticize Black people or like say anything in that realm. And what did we find? That there's like a ton of campaigning for a racial divide in this country. A large part of us are not allowed to like criticize transness or non-binary this and that. And you find, okay, well, there's some inconsistencies here. So make sure you turn the stone that people are telling you not to turn and not to criticize and not to question. And that goes for everything.
Let's see. Stop Simping on Amala says, hey, great podcast with Lauren. Would you say you agree with the descriptions Fresh and Fit have of men's problems, just not their prescriptions? RP forever, LOL.
Okay, I don't know exactly what their entire definition of men's problems are. I would say a lot of it would probably have to do with like modern dating, social media, modern day feminism is probably a problem that they outline for women. And with that being said, with just those examples, I can agree with the problems that they've outlined, but I most definitely am not really too down on the solutions. It's so interesting that, like, I think Myron Gaines, doesn't he go on sugar baby websites to, like, find women to, like, talk to and, you know, engage with? And at the same time, he's saying that, like, women feel this sense of entitlement and they're just going after men for their money and this and that. But you're feeding into the cycle of the thing that you're criticizing, which I guess is beneficial, because if you're going and creating the 304s, then you have content for your show and you can just invite them on your show. And it all, like, is a never-ending cycle that feeds into itself, and you make money and you get viral clips that go out on the internet. But I'm not agreeing. I saw when they got demonetized on YouTube, he was like, we've saved so many lives, so many guys' girlfriends are now making them sandwiches. And mind you, I'll make my man a sandwich if my man wants a sandwich, but I don't know about all the other stuff they're talking about.
Yeah, that clip of Ethan Klein grilling Myron, did you see that one?
Oh, yes. It was, Ethan ate him up. I'm afraid. I fear Ethan ate him up.
Okay, let's see. I can't read this name. It's in a really weird font.
Okay.
But it says, I think some powerful Jews are censoring people that don't fall in line, end quote. Then powerful Jews censor her for not falling in line, creating anti-Semitism.
Yeah, it's interesting that, like, if the reason for firing her is to combat some of the things she's saying, or, like, to at the very least get her, you know, out of the way because of the things that she's saying, it's not a good strategy. It's just not a good strategy. If I'm a person who's, like, even on the fence about what she's saying, and, like, I'm just curious, now I'm going to be like, okay, it's this seems validating. The same goes for Kanye. He was saying stuff and it was outlandish and making, like, some very, you know, huge claims. And then all of a sudden he loses billions of dollars and campaigns and relationships. And, you know, Harley Pasternak is saying he's going to have him institutionalized, and you're thinking, why is some, like, celeb trainer or whatever, like, whoever that guy was, saying he's going to have a celebrity institutionalized? And then you're thinking, well, okay, what he said must be true. And that's where we're going to go from there. So from a strategic standpoint, this is not smart, I don't think.
Yeah. That's why I think there's probably more to it. Like, if you're trying to silence someone by firing them, and that person is Candace Owens, like, you're not going to accomplish silencing anything. That is asking for a ton more speech and blowback than you ever would have bargained for. So I tend to believe maybe they had conflict about the way in which she was talking about things, and among other things, but I feel like there's got to just be, like, a too much butting of heads, and it just wasn't a good fit, and this was kind of like the last straw or whatever.
I could see it being like, I also don't want to, like, fund somebody's projects that are antithetical to the projects that I'm creating, from, like, maybe Ben Shapiro's standpoint. I could see that being your mindset, in the same way that, like, if Candace had her own organization and she's criticizing Israel and she hired Ben and he's saying, I'm pro-Israel, we need to, you know, do something, maybe you wouldn't want your money going to somebody who's saying those things. So there's a lot of different elements to this, and maybe that's
your prerogative too, if you have an organization. And also, to Candace's credit, she's not gonna be controlled no matter who she's under. She's gonna speak her mind and be truthful. So you know, if you're just too out of sync, then it's not gonna work. Okay, let's see, we got a few more here. Britt R says, woo, go team Nuance and respecting people's opinions. Love today's stream. Yeah, have a great weekend.
Thank you, guys. I'm glad that you guys enjoyed the stream. This is always a tricky subject these days, but nonetheless, we'll discuss it.
Damon Blackfire, which is an awesome name, says, she's better off out of there. The Daily Wire is a propaganda outlet for the Uniparty. Ben Shapiro and Boring destroyed Denise McAllister to appease the woke mob. Whoa. Good riddance.
I don't know what that is. This is another thing I'm going to have to look into, guys. I'm getting too many little, you know, those little boards where you take the yarn.
Like, making us say all kinds of stuff. Yes.
The tangled webs we weave, guys. I have so many things to look into now. I do think she's better off. I mean, you're better off to get your own thing going, especially with her personality and her temperament. I think it's better to just do your own thing, probably.
For sure. See, I think this might be the last one. Stop Sipping on Omelette says, yeah, I agree with you. And yes, Ethan had some good points. pointing out their hypocrisies. By the way, I don't agree with them on everything.
Yeah.
Well, good to know. Don't agree with anybody on everything.
We don't agree with anybody on everything. Yeah, including us. If you agree with me on 100% of things, reach out. I'd like to meet you. but yeah, no. They have some good launch pads for the horrible solutions that I believe they give out to people, and that's where I stand on Fresh and Fit. I think we got another one.
A couple more.
Okay, you got it.
At the buzzer.
Okay, perfect.
Ditto Bound says Lemon Show was a bust. Who's surprised? Elon should take on Candace to fill that space.
Yeah, I mean, Don Lemon gave this like ridiculous rider to the X team about things that he wanted. I think included a Cybertruck in his contract or whatever. And then he did this whole interview that clearly pointed out how ideologically possessed he is when he was interviewing Elon Musk. And as an employer who gets to, it was like an extended interview experience, essentially, for Elon Musk. You get to see this new employee that you're taking on and go, oh my gosh, this guy is absolutely batshit crazy. I think I'm gonna get rid of that contract. And he did the absolute right thing. When somebody's ideologically captured like that, they're gonna be a detriment to your company and your reputation. This is not to say that he shouldn't hire left-leaning people. By all means, get some good, really strong left-leaning shows on X. I would support that any day of the week. But when somebody's like coming at you in the way that Don Lemon was and just making baseless claims, you got to go.
Yeah, pick one of those nuanced, you know, measured left-leaning pundits that's out there. You know, that.
You know, Anna Kasparian's getting there. Anna Kasparian, she's hitting the nail on the head sometimes. I keep watching her and I'm like, okay, girl, I'm rocking with you.
She's having more and more base takes, but is she going to continue to be accepted on the, like, by progressives?
She's about to get ousted, yeah.
Espousing the opinion she's espousing, yeah.
We'll see.
But alas. Okay, we got a couple more, actually. One I skipped from Monica Leah. Sorry about that. She says, this is for native English speakers. Why is the plural form of moose, moose? Mm-hmm.
Not mooses or meese. I don't know. Sorry, guys. I can't give you the answer to that.
We have geese.
We have geese.
Mice. So we could have mice.
Yeah, I don't know.
Mice would be moose, plural. I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know why that happens. I'm sorry. If somebody, if a linguist can answer that in the comments down below, let us know.
Just learn it and stop complaining. I will say, you know, like, if you've been watching this show for a while, you know, like, I spent some time growing up overseas and, through that, learned Portuguese, Spanish, and then I studied French in college. But all those languages are part of the Romance languages. They're based in Latin, and they have very similar structure. It's just mostly the pronunciation that's different. And I have a lot of sympathy for people who are learning English because of crap like that, that it's doesn't tough. Make any sense, that you don't really have the equivalent with in other languages. So I feel like English is probably one of the harder ones to learn. So kudos to all of our non-native English speakers who watch the
show. Shout out to y'all.
Let's see. Kwazakule says, happy Friday, Amelin Taylor. Wanted to end the show on a lighter note. Have a nice weekend and grace us with your beautiful mind next week.
Thank you. I appreciate that, guys. I got to give a good happy Friday to everybody watching right now.
Indeed. And looks like we got just a few. Oh, wow. They keep coming in.
So we'll just keep going, guys.
Jody Samurai says, oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive.
Yeah, that is true. Like, you know, when you lie, every time you lie, you are creating a little blip on the map of something that you have to keep up with. And not only do you have to keep up with the lie that you've told, you have to keep up with the truth that is the reality so that you can continue to lie. So just think about that before y'all lie and deceive people, because it is indeed a tangled web we weave.
Sounds stressful.
It does.
Kristen X says, I still think it's wild that Dylan Mulvaney decides to become a girl and gets all this money thrown at him. I've been a woman for 33 years. Where's my money?
I know. You know, we just didn't catch the proper niche. There will be something else down the line, some new identity that somebody will catch the wave of. And Dylan happened to be the lucky SOB to do it with trans identity. So there you go. Made him a millionaire. That's awesome. I mean, like, you know, if you're willing to commit to the bit, there you go. Millions of dollars.
He was swinging for a while, though. He thought it was going to be The Price is Right, thought it was going to be The Ellen Show. And then lo and behold, all he had to do was be Days of Girlhood on TikTok.
The lesson is don't ever quit and always pick a new bit.
Okay. Jody Samurai says, oh, I just read that one. Okay. Dale says, loved you seeing you and Lauren together. Two of my favorites.
Oh,
would be great to see more.
Yeah, I had fun talking to Lauren, and maybe we'll have her on this show as well to have a discussion. She always loves to cover media and movies, so maybe we should have her on to discuss exactly that.
And Stephen Nissel says, Disney fires Gina Carano for exercising free speech, and Daily Wire trashed Disney for it. Now Daily Wire does the same thing to Owens for exercising free speech. Hypocritical.
Okay, yeah, I'm very curious. Like, maybe the last touch point that I will have on this story is just hearing their explanation, and then I'm going to move on because I just want to hear. I'm sure from a PR standpoint, they're probably having some meetings about how they, like, package this and, like, what's the best way to move forward and explain what's going on. But I'll be curious to read.
I have a feeling we won't get much satisfying details, but
no,
again, I just think it wasn't going to work no matter how you slice it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think Candace is going to be censored no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Ryden 22 says, I just hate that this separation rips the strongest cord we had against mainstream media. I appreciate both of them and you.
Yeah, I don't know that it does anything. Like, I don't know that this negatively impacts the conservative movement whatsoever. If anything, it's just like you have a ton of different places you can go to, like, listen to people. A lot of people thought, like, Tucker getting fired from Fox was going to be, like, this devastating thing for conservative movement. He just is now on X and is more free with what he's able to say. And if anything, has been emboldened to speak out more and more impassioned. So I don't know that this hurts literally anybody.
If anything, it's ripping the Band-Aid off, a big moment of drama, so we don't have to keep hearing about the drama.
Mm-hmm.
As it keeps arising whenever. Yeah. It's like the couple that's just always fighting. It's like, okay, just call it a day, guys.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and I think that was our last one. We made it through the Super Chats.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for watching the show today. As always, I encourage you to drop your thoughts in the comments down below, especially after the stream, as I love to go through and hear from you guys. If you disagree with anything that was said during the stream, duke it out in the comments, but do so respectfully, as we like to encourage healthy debate on our platform. Guys, thank you so much for watching. If you liked this stream, please like, subscribe, click the notification bell to be notified every single time we're live. That's Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 1 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Eastern, for those of you who want to listen in live. Plus, we post new videos on this channel every single day. Tomorrow's video is about a cashier who's accusing a customer of being fatphobic and a customer who's accusing the cashier of being racist. And this went viral on the internet. We're going to unpack the different isms and offenses that were made in said video. Thanks again for watching. Leave your thoughts down below, and I will see you next time. Have a fantastic weekend, guys. Bye.